Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1986 with a release date of Friday, November 20th, 2015. The follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC suffers another temporary outage of its universal licensing system. The amateur community gets ready to recognize hardworking Skywarn volunteers, and a special station operating in the Antarctic refuses to let blizzards get in the way of QSOs. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1986 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin with news of yet another obstacle for the FCC's beleaguered universal licensing system, which suffered a second and then third shutdown of its electronic batch filing system. One stoppage occurred, appropriately perhaps, on Friday the 13th, and shortly after the system was restored on Wednesday, November 18th, it once again stopped working. And just as bad propagation can pretty much close the bands, the FCC outage have brought processing of VEC license and examination files to a screeching halt. The ARRL's VEC manager, Maria Soma, AB1FM, said she hoped volunteer examiners and applicants would try to be patient, especially since the FCC has indicated there is not yet a long-term fix for the problem. The agency did acknowledge, however, that the on-again, off-again ability to process files stems from the same issue each time. According to Soma, the ARRL VEC had an estimated 400 applications and nearly 150 exam sessions awaiting FCC processing. A few files did manage to make their way through the system on Wednesday, however, before the system went offline again. The scenario was reminiscent of the shutdown that occurred in early September, frustrating license applicants and examiners, while the FCC website underwent maintenance and a system upgrade. At the time of this newscast production, however, it seemed that the amateur radio community was once again in for a bit of a waiting game. There's no question about the forecast for December 5th, 2015. The bands will be partly crowded with 100% chance of participation. That's the date the National Weather Service and the ARRL have set for the 17th annual Skywarn Recognition Day, a 24-hour opportunity for hams to acknowledge colleagues who serve as trained volunteers assisting the weather service. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bobby Best, WX4ALA, has the details.
Ham radio operators aren't just fair weather friends to local offices of the National Weather Service. They're integral parts of the wireless communication channel that passes along critical information, often during the most severe weather. That's why on Skywarn Recognition Day, when those hams set up operation at National Weather Service offices around the country, they'll look forward to making contact with other hams nationwide on the HF bands in various modes, and also on 2-meter and 440 repeaters. The stations will exchange call signs, signal reports, location, and of course, indicate if it's rainy, cloudy, snowing, hailing, or perhaps even sunny. The National Weather Service and the ARRL created Skywarn Recognition Day in 1999. It's going to be a big day for amateurs everywhere who reach out, make contacts, and yes, even say thank you. And it'll be an even bigger day for the nearly 300,000 trained severe weather spotters on the receiving end. After all, December 5th will be their day to shine like the sun itself. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA in Jasper, Alabama.
A lot's happened in history in ham radio since the South Jersey Radio Association, K2AA, incorporated in June of 1916. And since a centennial event only comes around once every 100 years, the club is marking the milestone of its continuous operation with hats, t-shirts, coffee mugs, certificates, and something even more special. A centennial membership, open to any radio amateur who'd like to be part of the celebration. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has more.
Richard von Lintig, KV2R, a member of the board of directors for the South Jersey Radio Association, says the idea is to give amateurs across the spectrum a chance to join in the club's celebration. He says those who sign up to join the club for its anniversary year also will get a chance to show off their special affiliation on the air.
They can participate by signing their call sign as /100, which is a slight modification to their call sign. But because they are centennial members, we are allowing that to be done.
He says the club still is waiting FCC approval of that modification. Also, Von Lintig says there's a special bonus for those working Centennial members in various contests.
But when they contact the Centennial members as well as the regular members, they'll get special considerations and they'll be eligible for these certificates that we'll be awarding. Basically, the idea is to have these people participate as members to increase the popularity and the fun of the contest.
Von Lintig describes the South Jersey Radio Association as a diverse group, typical of most radio clubs.
We have on the rolls, I think, about 110 members right now. Typically, at our meetings, we might have 50 people.
Von Lintig says you don't have to come all the way to South Jersey to become a Centennial member. Simply go to our website, www.arnewsline.org, and click on the script for this week's bulletin and scroll down to the story where you'll find the website for the SJRA. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, just across the Delaware River from South Jersey here in Philadelphia.
While you do need a valid amateur radio license to join the South Jersey Celebration, you don't need to have a New Jersey home address. And perhaps best of all, you don't need to be 100 years old either. During World War II, the kind of activations that took place inside government facilities in Hanford, Washington, Los Alamos, New Mexico, and Oak Ridge, Tennessee were of the scientific sort. Top secret components of the Manhattan Project, which developed America's first atomic weapon. Those sites are about to be activated again, this time for amateur radio. The U.S. Departments of Energy and the Interior have declared the locations National Historical Sites, making them eligible for next year's National Parks on the Air event, marking the National Park Service's 100th anniversary. But the agencies caution, these sites are not just another place to set up your rig and antenna. They're considered sensitive locations and are being treated as such. So when the event kicks off next year, it's likely the kind of radio activity this time around won't have the same mission as that during the Second World War. But it's bound to create a powerful reaction nonetheless, this time on the HF bands. Like so many of the ham radio contesters who rely on it, the popular logging software N1MM has scored an award-winning contact. The YASME Foundation's Board of Directors has announced that the development team behind the logging program, N1MM, has been given the YASME Excellence Award. The team includes Tom Wagner, N1MM, Rick Ellison, N2AMG, Steve London, N2IC, and a number of others. The classic version of the program is a free offering used by contesters worldwide. N1MM Plus was then developed as a rewritten, revised version of the original software. The California-based nonprofit foundation gives its Excellence Award, a plaque and monetary gift, recognizing those who make significant contributions to ham radio from an operational, organizational, or technical standpoint. And they found N1MM deserving. No contest. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Spark Club Repeater for the Sportsman's Paradise Amateur Radio Club, K4WAK in McCulloch County, Florida, in time for the Friday afternoon commute. Commemorating the 100th anniversary of the World War I landing at Gallipoli has been something of a battle itself for the ham radio station operating out of the Antarctic. Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Sunday, November 22 could be the day, or maybe not the day, for the return to the air of VI-0 Anzac from Casey Base in the Antarctic. The station's plan to get on the air has been, like the weather itself, highly changeable. In fact, blame the weather for an earlier postponement that kept the station silent until the weekend of August 29 and 30. VI-0 Anzac, part of the Anzac 100 program of the Wireless Institute of Australia, is marking the centennial of the landing at Gallipoli, Turkey, of the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps. But four generations later, the greater battle has been with blizzard conditions and poor propagation that has challenged operator Doug McVeigh, VK0DMV. Getting on the air in August with a 50-watt transceiver, a dipole and a lot of ambition and hope, McVeigh logged 56 contacts. Still, the station intends to prove itself to be a stormtrooper of quite another sort, especially in this kind of storm. So, at 0200 UTC, Sunday, November 22, he intends to try again, beginning on 14.250 MHz, or perhaps on some other band, or then again, not at all. But anything is possible, including contact with hams around the world. If you happen to be one of them, send QSL cards via the Bureau or use EQSL. McVeigh is hoping this time for a blizzard of contacts instead. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB of WIA National News here in Australia.
The snow is expected to be somewhat gentler and less of a problem in other parts of the world for participants in Winter Field Day, which is just weeks away. The Winter Field Day Association has announced the annual event will be held the weekend of January 30th and 31st, 2016. The event's website says it all, declaring, quote, "We believe, as do those entities of ARRL organizations like Aries and Races, that maintaining your operational skills should not be limited to fair weather scenarios." As with the annual Summer Field Day, the outreach on the air will be a worldwide effort. The goal is to encourage emergency preparedness under winter conditions. All modes may be used and all bands except for 12, 17, 30, and 60 meters. For additional details on how to prepare for the event, visit the website, www.winterfieldday.com. Oh, and dress warmly. Oregon's Office of Emergency Management has severed its ties with the head of the Oregon Amateur Radio Emergency Service, but not the emergency group itself. According to published reports, the Ares chief, Vince Vanderhyde, K7VV, has asked that the group's volunteers not take part in the November 12th emergency drill the state had planned because he found the state's equipment and its advance notice to volunteers insufficient. That action apparently is what has caused the split. Despite the rift between Vanderhyde and the state, the ARRL's Oregon section manager, Everett Curry, W6ABM, has since confirmed that Oregon Aries Races will still work with the state's Office of Emergency Management. On November 16th, a statement from the OOEM, ARRL Oregon section stressed that emergency management's relationship with Oregon Aries Races continues. Looking at DX, if all you want for Christmas DXing this year is a special event holiday QSL card from the Netherlands, Dutch amateur Raymond Smit, PD7DX, can help. He's working special event station PD15XMAS. From December 5th through January 1st in the spirit of the holiday. He'll be active on 7, 14, and 28 megahertz on HF, as well as 2 meters and 440. Elsewhere, Daniel DL5YWM is working in Crete as SV9 stroke DL5YWM until November 25th, QSL to his home call sign. In Liberia, Donald EL2DW is working from Monrovia until December 17th and can be found on 20, 15, and 10 meters using SSB, QSL via KD4UDU in Florida. Peter DL1RPL and Soren DL3RKS are activating two Indian Ocean islands. They'll be on Mayotte Island through November 25th, working as FH-DL1RPL and FH-DL3RKS respectively. Beginning November 27th and through December 3rd, they'll be on Reunion Island, active as FR-DL1RPL and FR-DL3RKS. They'll operate on the HF bands 20 through 10, mostly on CW with some SSB. Peter will also operate on 2 meters and 440 EME using WSJT-65 and CW. Send your QSL cards via DL1RPL. And a few stations will be marking the 90th anniversary of the IARU with special stations. Special event station JT90 IARU will be working from Mongolia until the end of 2015, QSL via JT1KAA. Likewise, members of the Malta Amateur Radio League are working as 9H90 IARU, QSL via 9H1SP, and special event station EV90 IARU is in Belarus. QSL direct via EW1I. And finally, members of the radio club De Haiti are working as HH90 IARU, QSL via the operator's instructions. And finally this week, we close this newscast with words of a radio pioneer speaking eloquently to us from the past. Nobel Prize winner Guglielmo Marconi was visiting Sydney, Australia, December 14th, 1935, when he said at a public ceremony, quote, "It is indeed gratifying to me to know that the people of Australia appreciate the extent to which wireless has figured in their prosperity, for I firmly believe that without economical and efficient long-distance communications, no country can make headway." Marconi, of course, had made headway himself in 1901, sending radio waves across the Atlantic, shaping the future of communications. Then in 1918, he oversaw the first direct wireless message from England to Australia, a message received in Sydney by wireless engineer Ernest Fisk. Marconi ultimately came to Australia in 1935 when a monument was unveiled there, and that is where he made his speech. Now you can hear Marconi for yourself. The Essex Record Office in the UK obtained a recording of Marconi and recently released it on the website, soundcloud.com. Marconi's message, of course, is now being carried by another form of communication and not the kind he originally had in mind. But the visionary who believed in making headway and progress likely wouldn't be put off by the Internet because, like radio itself, it still delivers. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, Biography.com, CQ Magazine, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, QRZ Now, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, Winter Field Day, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.